Blog Talk Radio.
There we go, people. There we go. This is it. We are live. And my name is Eric Terrell, and this is the Eric Terrell Show. I'm so happy to have you join me. Now, listen here. This is our back-to-school series finale, first of all. I'm so happy to have you. I'm talking to you. You, that voice listening to me, I know who you are. I can see you. You understand? See, radio is audio only, but that's for different shows. This show has eyes, and I can see you. Trust me, I can see you. I know who you are. I can tell who listens. And I thank you. I thank you for listening. I thank you for tuning in. We've got important things to discuss on this back-to-school series finale, okay? Now, we have a lot of fun on the Eric Terrell Show. In our yester weeks, we busted up. You know, we talked about teachers stripping and strippers teaching. We talked about respect for authority. Those were good episodes. And now here we are. We've arrived at the finale of this year Back to School series for the year of 2016, for season number 5. Is ADD a disability? Ponder that. Now, many of you are giving me the people's eyebrow when I ask that question. You're looking at the radio, or you're looking at my invisible voice coming out of whatever speaker you have me plugged into, and you're screaming, "You're damn right, it's a disability." And you are correct. Is ADD a disability? You're damn right it's a disability. But tell you why I asked that question. I asked the question for good reason. You see, I'm very concerned. I'm very in tune. And I'm very focused, no pun intended, on attention deficit disorder. This is something that I spend a lot of time with. Now, I never, I guess I can't say never, because I'm doing it right now, but typically I never converse or discuss my day job, because I like to be known as a comedian. I don't like people to know me for my day job or attach me to my day job. Just know me as a comedian. That's what I do. That's all you need to know. However, I'm a comedian with a stomach. Everybody has a stomach. I don't think anyone's born without a stomach, okay? And the thing about stomachs is that stomachs don't fill themselves. No, you have to fill your stomach yourself. You got to work. You got to make money. So I have a heart. My heart is with stand-up. My heart is also with my day job. And being as though I have a stomach, I need to eat. So I can't just do comedy. I have to have a day job so I can eat. And this is what I do in the daytime. For those that don't know, I would assume it's a large populace of my listeners, a large number of human faces and human beings that don't know. I work with students with special needs. I work with many of my clients have ADD. And I'm discussing it right now, and I know ADD. So you need to think about who you're looking at. When you look at me with the people's eyebrow, is ADD a disability? Why are you asking that question? I'm asking that question for a very simple reason. Working with these students, day in, day out, I see things, and I notice things, and I realize that there's about, this is a made-up number. My special guest may be able to modify the number based on her her experience and her opinions. She is certified in special education. I am not. However, I would conclude that there's about 50, maybe 60% of students that have ADD that really have ADD, that suffer from ADD, that struggle with ADD, that are fully disabled and are not faking it, okay? They need help. Many of them get help. A slight number of them may not get help. They need help, but they don't put on. They don't perform. They don't complain. They simply do the best that they can do. And then you have about 40% of students diagnosed with ADD that have ADD, that many of them do actually have ADD, but these students put on a performance. These students, while they do not lie, they are not as disabled as the 60%. Now, let me give you some real numbers. Those numbers are made up, but this here is from the Center for Disease Control, CDC.gov, which says that about 3 in 4 children ages 2 to 5 years old with ADHD received ADHD medicine. That leaves about 1 to 2 students who don't. Now, it also says that the amount of students with ADHD has increased over time. Now, I'm speaking about ADHD. ADD and ADHD are different, but this is something I also find to be true. So, listen, when I say that these students perform, when I say that they put on a show, basically what I'm saying is that they use ADD as an excuse. It's that simple. When I was growing up, we couldn't come home and say, listen, Mom, I got a C in math, but I got ADD. In many cases, it wouldn't matter what you have. Excuses were not tolerated. And there's many houses where excuses are not tolerated, ADD or no ADD. And those are most of the houses that fit into my 60%. Those are the houses that have ADD students that perform very well. Most of them better than the 40%. The 40%, they have excuses. They complain. They don't do work. They don't try to do their work because they know that at the end of the day, they have a crutch. They have a crutch that they can lean on. Life will always give you crutches. It's up to you whether you want to lean on those crutches or just simply use the crutches when you need them and learn how to just keep up with everyone else. And I think it's that simple. My niece has ADD. like I said, my clients have ADD. I have 2 very close friends that have ADD. And I was confused when they told me they had ADD, and I was confused simply because I know that these are very able, very competent friends. There's no way you have ADD. What is this disorder of which you speak? both of the friends I'm speaking of graduated from college. They both think really well. They both focus on things. And here's something, and I'm going to move on. Asia Downey.
What's up?
There you go. I know you were waiting on me to see that that call in there.
I was listening in.
Right. I'm going to tell this story, and we'll get Asia's opinion. Now, there's tons of stories that I have about the ADD performing students. However, just last year, I'm in the classroom, and one student was taking a test, okay? She was taking a test, Asia, and she took that test as best as she could. She focused on that test. She put her mind on that test. She took the test for about an hour. It was at least 50 minutes. It was 50 minutes to an hour. She took the test. the second she finished the text, she stood up and she said, "I have ADD.
Whee!"
And she started spinning around like SpongeBob or something. And I'm like, okay, you have ADD? Like, you have ADD. Now you have ADD. What did you have for the last 50 minutes? Test-taking disorder? Did you have focusing syndrome? What's going on here? Now, listen, I love my students. I love my young people, all of them. I love them so much that I won't let them use excuses. Asia, what do you think about about this subject?
I mean, I don't – that's a very interesting story. I've never per se had a chance to interact with a person or a child with ADD. I mean, because, you know, I know it's real, and I know that they actually – it is a disorder, and they, you know, prescribe medication for it. But, you know, sometimes when – every time I've kind of encountered it, somebody – I feel like they were joking, like –
yeah.
In more of like a sarcastic way, like I'd be like, "Oh yeah, I have ADD because I can't pay attention," or I jump from one subject to another. So it was more like a jokingly way. So I've never really had a chance to encounter someone who really actually suffers from ADD. So I don't know if I could put too much input on that backstory. She might have been
right.
One of those jokingly sarcastic people. I mean, I don't know. I need to see
who
a prescription. The one that you the girl that took the test, where.
Oh yeah, most definitely. Okay.
I don't know if I'd I'd be like, if I was a teacher, I'm definitely like, everybody show me a prescription. I need a doctor's note, okay?
Right. Right.
Because I got ADD too. We all got ADD. You better.
Yeah,
I need some credentials.
It's amazing too how many students have ADD, and how many adults have ADD. Like that person that you don't always want to be around, that because they talk too much and they're always talking really fast and they're jumping from one subject to another, and they've got the attention span of a butterfly. And they just annoy you a little bit. That person probably has ADD. You know, it's something that so many people live with, and we assume that they're just fine. and the truth is, they are. If you think about it, they are just fine. They're just a little different, but. I always tend to think, Asia, that you know, you just don't have to, maybe I'm a victim of Ray Charles movie when his mom told him, don't let nobody treat you like a cripple, okay? Just don't be a cripple. Whatever you do, stand on your own 2 feet, okay? I know you remember that scene.
You were?
Asia? Yeah, okay. I didn't know if I was the only one who saw Ray.
Oh no, I saw Ray. I love Ray. I'm mad they took it off of Netflix. I'm actually upset about that. They took Ray off Netflix.
They took Ray off Netflix.
Yeah. I don't know who's running the show. But I need to I'm trying not to share it, but I'm gonna email them. They took off Ray. And it took off Paid in Full, but then they put Stomp the Yard on there. I don't know how I feel. I'm torn.
No, that's not a fair exchange. That's not. Well,
like not all
black
movies are the same.
A dance movie.
Right.
Right.
We took a black movie. We'll just give another black movie. No. It's not the same.
But even if it was a fair exchange, it's two for one. You got to give me something else. Give me
right.
The Temptations along with Stomp the Yard.
Hello?
You just took Ray.
I told them
anyway.
The only way they could make it up is if they put all the Fridays on there. I won't say nothing.
Oh, sorry, yeah, that must be well overdue.
We're straying. See, I got ADD too. I'm getting off topic.
Oh, my goodness. Look at you.
Is it?
Yeah. No, it's fine. It's fine. You just might. You just might. But I have someone that can help you. I'm going to bring her on the air right now because we apparently need her, because maybe both of us have it the way we're jumping around. But this woman is very insightful, and I'm very happy to have her back. As I said, she was my special guest a year ago on the Back to School series finale last year, and what a memorable finale it was, one of the deepest shows that we've had. And here we are landing on another deep subject, another deep discussion, another one which she's certified in, okay, certified as a special education teacher. She's certified in English as a second language, and she's a reading specialist. And she is my friend, and she's our friend, and she's from Triumph Baptist Church. And she is Miss Amira Yasmin. What's going on, Miss Amira Yasmin?
Hi, guys. How are you?
How are you?
Hello. I'm good.
Good to have you back. Sorry for the drawn-out intro, but I want to do you justice.
No, that was really sweet. I appreciate that. I was listening to your ADHD conversation, and I was like, yeah, I think I have ADHD too. But that's not always a bad thing, right? And so sometimes disabilities get a stigma attached to them. And I have a friend who says ADHD is his superpower. So I really think it matters how a child is treated with it, how they are given skills to sort of, I guess, redirect themselves, and really what's going on in their home and what's going on in their classroom to support them. So I just wanted to say it's not always a bad thing, but I'm not going to start off talking. I'll let you ask me questions, but I just wanted to get that out there.
Cool. It's about how they're treated. That's a good comment to segue into as you say, my questions. Now, I also have a friend, my friend Monroe, mm-hmm. Monroe Martin, and I say his full name because he broadcasts himself that he has ADD all the time. He's a stand-up comedian. He did our radio show. Age, I don't know if you remember. He did the show earlier this season. He's been on Conan and MTV. And one of his jokes is about ADD being a superpower. Is not only can I do this math test, but I can do this math test and play with those squirrels outside the window. It depends on how you look at it. It definitely depends on how you look at it. A crutch is not a crutch unless you say it's a crutch. If you look at it as a superpower, well, then it's a superpower. It's that simple. Now, you're certified in special education, and you work with these students. How much of a disability is attention deficit disorder? For those that do not use it as an excuse, for those that say, okay, I have this, but I can still get straight A's, I can still listen to my mama, I can still remember what I want to remember, I can make reminders for myself, I can make it work. For the students that do their best with ADD, how much does it hurt them?
I think that it can be a disability that impede students from learning. I'm not going to say that doesn't happen. I mean, there are some severe cases. But I think there are several approaches that you can take to support a student who has the diagnosis of ADHD. So, again, it's all about looking at perspective. So when you start to see that it's impacting a student's ability to learn, then you really want to take some measures to intervene on their behalf. So I think the approach is initially looking at diet. And oftentimes we don't realize how the foods that we feed our children impact them. So things like ketchup and anything with red dye in it really jolts ADHD. That blue dye, like if you ever see blue raspberry, like that's not something that is naturally created. So these artificial dyes that are in foods that you eat every day and condiments, they really impact a child's ability to learn. So when you start to look at, okay, I have this child and I know that my child need support in this area. I know that interventions need to occur. So that first step is like, okay, let's look at that diet. So is my child eating leafy green vegetables? Are they eating fresh fruits? Are they not eating processed meats? Like, you know, when you buy deli meats, like those Lunchables that the children pack, they're horrible. That slimy turkey is not good for them. And all of those things that we think are like quick meals, they can really be detrimental to children with ADHD because the sugars and the dyes really don't, they don't gel well with their ability to focus and concentrate, and it really impacts their frontal lobes, so those executive functioning skills. So I think that's the first part of it. So you're looking at opportunities to remedy it. The second part of it is looking at how your doctor can support you. So the doctor may have, you know, opportunities for different types of conversations, maybe therapies that the child can have and giving strategies that the child can use to support them. Then the third part of it is looking at the school and how can the school assess your child and determine what can be done, what interventions can be put in place in school to support them. So when you have that sort of trifold, that home, you know, medical and then educational approach, I think you're really able to get some results. Now, oftentimes children are put on medication for ADHD.
Yeah, I was just
and ADHD sort of, a lot of research was put into ADHD, and because any hot button topic, any hot button disability, people get behind it, and, you know, drug companies get behind it because they can make money. So they come out with a variety of different medications, and then with the medications come trials. So you may have a dose that's too high or too low. Your child might be lethargic, and there may be a number of things occurring. I don't think that medicine is should be the first option, but I don't think that people shouldn't right. consider it, because just like you say, if I have a headache, I can say, well, some people say coffee, you know, helps to relieve a headache, or if you drink some water, you might be able to relieve a headache, or if you massage your temples. So I've tried those things, but if my headache is still occurring, I'm going to need some Excedrin. I'm going to need some Tylenol. So when I'm not saying that you don't try other options first, and eliminate the possibility of medication, because I think once you get into that, then you're limiting your child. So if you've tried all of those other opportunities to intervene on their behalf, if you've given strategies and they're being implemented with fidelity and everybody's on the same page, at home and school, you're working together, you know, you have a reward system, okay? If you're on task for 3 minutes, then you get to do this. If you're on task for, you know, 10 minutes, then you get to do this, or you get praise, or you get a sticker on your sticker chart. So it's something that really needs to be monitored both at home and at school, to really get those executive functioning skills and that frontal lobe stimulated. But at the end of the day, if you've done all those things and they're not working, then medicine should be an option, just like with any other medical condition, because ADHD is a medical condition. So I hope that answers your question.
You answered about 3 or 4 of my questions. You have done a good job. You have
the winner. No.
That was awesome. That was much of what I wanted my listeners to hear, much of the answers that I wanted them to hear. Asia, I never liked that slimy turkey. Did you do you hear what she said about the slimy turkey? Did you get that turkey in the Lunchable, Asia? Did Asia go?
I don't think she's on mute.
No, can y'all hear?
I knew it.
Can you hear me?
I knew you was eating a snack or something. What you doing over there?
No. No, I'm trying to I'm trying to figure out this new phone thing. I'm team iPhone
okay,
now.
Okay, okay. Asia, look, do what you got to do. Okay, no, we fine over here. Miss Yasmine is giving us what we need over here. Just worry about what you need to worry about, Asia. I'm just if you need us, let us know. All right, all right. Okay.
No.
Oh, let me ask this question. Now, it's funny. You said it's a medical disorder. It's definitely a learning disability. One thing I also find is that it can be a social disability. Students may look at
a student
with ADD and say they are not as smart as us, or they are different than us. Have you seen this? Is this a problem that the parents need to be concerned with?
So first thing, ADHD would be considered an other health impairment. It's not one of the main disability categories that would qualify a student for like special education services under IDEA. So that's number one. It would be like an other health impairment, so it falls into that other category. Second thing is children will pick on children because of anything. Typically, physical disabilities are those that children may be cruel about. The other thing is if a child might have like a intellectual disability, which used to be known as mental retardation, or a specific learning disability, which would be in it could look like ADHD could look like a specific learning disability based on the child's ability to focus and respond in assessment. So as far as other students, a student with ADHD would typically look like other students unless they had that hyperactivity. So you can have a student who has ADD, but then you have a student that has that H. So the ADHD is the hyperactivity and the attention deficit.
Right.
That combination. Right. So if the student is like, you know, super active or bothering other students, then you may have like a student sort of lashing out at them. So if you have, I've seen students who like boys that they play too much, you know what I mean? So they're always up, you know, hitting another student or doing something, just being physical. And that can be offensive to other students. So they may, you know, they may say something, especially if they see that student going to a learning support classroom, or the learning support teacher is providing instruction to that student, then there may be some teasing in that case. But generally speaking, they don't look any different than anyone else, and they could very well be high achieving students. They just don't have that focus, so they have to use, you know, they have other coping mechanisms to learn. You may see students that they never sit down. They're doing a test, but they need to stand up. And so, and they're like, you know, back and forth, like looking like it would almost look like they needed to go to the bathroom, like the bathroom dance. And they're focused on the test, but that's what they need to do in order to get their mind to where they need to access the information that they need to be successful on the test. So it just sort of, I mean, it can manifest in different ways, but depending on the interaction with other students and how well they perform, you know, in the classroom, it is what would determine if they are picked on. But it's not something that would stand out typically.
Cool. I want to say thank you for listening to my live listeners. Our live show ends at 7 o'clock. I'm going to ask Miss Yasmine, one more question, and then we are going to conclude this very, very informational, very enlivening episode and back to school series finale. So, if there's anything, what I'll say for you to close us out, Miss Yasmine, if there's anything that you do specifically, or any ideals that you have specifically about not only ADHD or ADD or any learning impairments, maybe even behavioral disorders or behavioral challenges or anything that impacts education whatsoever, as well as Anything you do or any ideas you have to help those or to help parents of children with challenges, let us know, as well as your final message to and maybe even adults with ADD. That was a lot, but if you could give us
that. So take a little bit out of there. So I think the first thing is we have to be very mindful of what we put in our bodies, and so what we feed our children. So that really, I mean, that saying, you are what you eat. So if you give your child trash, then that is sort of kind of comes out of them. So McDonald's fast food, you know, I hate the name McDonald's, but fast food and, you know, processed food, hoagies, things like that. It's okay to have that every now and again, but we really want to give our children fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, fresh meats, fresh juices, 100% juice, you know, no Kool-Aid, things like that. That really lays the foundation, what we feed our child, making sure that children get enough rest, right? Then also making sure that children, you're talking to your children, you're asking them about their day, you're engaging with your children, you're asking them what their goals are, and you're also giving them your expectations for them. I think that school is a child's job. And so when you start a position, there's something that you have assignments that you're supposed to do. You have tasks and responsibilities within your position. And then the result of that is you get a paycheck. So you need to set that sort of relationship up with your child about school, because when you give them a reason for going to school, when they have a purpose for going to school, then it's more meaningful to them. Also, reading is very important. I think reading opens up worlds for children. I was a child. I grew up in the ghetto. I grew up in North New Jersey. And growing up there, I didn't have – all I had access to was the library. And so I read everything I could get my hands on. I read encyclopedias. And what that did for me was open up a whole other world. And so I saw places and I saw things that I wanted to know more about. And so when I got older, I had what we call schema, background knowledge. So I could have a conversation with people about most anything because I read about it. I may not have experienced it, but I read about it. And so I could add to that conversation. So I would say reading all genres of books, making sure you have books in your home for your children. A lot of times children have, you know, they have the latest Jordans, they have the latest video game, they got, you know, the any sort of electronics, iPhone, iPad, and, you know, flat screen TV hung on the wall, but they don't have any books in the house. And I think we do a disservice to children by giving them access to so much technology and so many materialistic things, but we don't put enough focus on just the basic things like reading and asking them questions about the books that they read, making everything a learning experience. When you go on a car trip, talking about, you know, you look at a sign and you say, we left it this time, it takes this time to get there, what time, you know, it takes this much time to get there, what time will we arrive? Well, if this sign says there's 50 miles away and we started at 100 miles away, how many miles have we driven? And you go to the grocery store, here's $10, and you want a box of Captain Crunch, and you want, you know what I mean, some fruit roll-ups. What's the total, and how much change should you get back? So make everything a learning experience for your children. As far as adults with ADD, I think I'm a multitasker, so and let people know what's comfortable for you. So I tell people if I'm in a meeting, look, I may stand up because I can't sit here all day, or I'll be asleep, or I may be taking notes, you know, because I can't focus. So let people know what your learning style is. Let people know, give them, you don't have to say I have ADHD, but look, this is who I am and this is what I need to do to be successful. So I think that we need to advocate for ourselves. Parents need to advocate for children, adults advocate for themselves. And in that way, we people understand who we are, and there aren't any questions or any misunderstandings about why we do certain things, because we're all different. We all need an IEP because we all learn differently. Every single child should have their own learning plan because each child will learn differently. Each child, I might be a visual learner. I might be an auditory learner. I might be a kinesthetic learner where I need to do things. So we need to just focus on how our children learn and make sure that they're getting instruction in that way so that they can be successful. That was like an ADD kind of ADD response.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That is your finale. That's all you need. Awesome. I thank you so, so much. And I thank my co-host, I thank my wherever she is, I thank my co-host, Asia Downing. Okay, listen here. That's your Back to School Series finale on the Eric Terrell Show. We are going far from education next week. We're talking about cultural alcohol abuse, okay? We're talking about blacks and whites and drinking. It's going to be interesting. You'll learn more about the topic. We're going to have an expert on the topic, Mr. Mike Logan, okay? Now, love is the most important thing that we have, people, whether it's education, whether it's relationships, whether it is family, no matter what it is, love. Love yourself. Love other people. Love the truth. And love, love. It's not hard to love, love. All you've got to do is love God, because God is love, and God did it, okay? That's what you got. That's what it is. Missy Yasmeen is the greatest. See y'all next week.
Love you. Love you, love you. Thank you for having me on.
Always, always.